Hey guys, welcome to this week's version of the Center's Kingdom Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Merle Skinner, and I'm so excited today to have a couple people on this podcast that are they're some of my favorite people. One is my wife, Barb, who's co-hosting. Great to have you today, Barb.
Thank you.
Barb, as many of you know, has been one of the driving forces, not only the center, but of our All Out Praise event that we are just very, very excited about rekindling this year, Barb, after how many years?
Well, we did it for 9 years, and then the last year we got rained out, and it was really hard, but we were so happy when Jason had come in 2012. It's been a long time.
Yeah. So our main guest here is Jason Gray, who we are just so excited to have. Jason, welcome to the podcast.
Well played. You said two of my favorite people. One of them is my wife. Bravo. Well done. Well done.
He gets points for that, check.
Off to a strong start.
That's so good. So we've got a lot to cover in a short amount of time. And as you guys know, we talk about issues on this podcast of mental health, Christian education, culture, all kinds of really interesting with really interesting guests. And so, Jason, we've had him here before. Barb's going to share a little bit about that. But one of the reasons that we picked Jason is because he has just been so vulnerable and transparent about his walk with the Lord and some of the things in his life. And that is what we're really excited about at the center, is that God is doing so many things in people's lives. And trying to move away from this idea that, hey, we kind of accept Jesus and everything is just perfect. You know, everything just go. It's just not that way. We live in a fallen world. So I'll tell you what we'll do. Barb, would you open us in prayer? And then on the podcast, and then we'll just have you jump in and talk a little bit about Jason, okay?
Lord God, we just thank you for everyone listening today, that they may be blessed by you, Lord, and touched. And Lord, we just give you all our lives and the things that go on and the struggles that we have. You are greater. Your Holy Spirit is our counselor, Lord, and we're so thankful for that gift. And just be with our time, in Jesus' name, amen.
So Barb, July 19th, starting at 11:30, we're gonna have up to 10 Christian bands, closing with Jason being the headliner at 8 o'clock, is that correct? Is that correct?
I think, yes. And Jason's gonna do like a little meet and greet with some of our bands and people. If you're interested, if you're a band out there and you wanna be part of the lineup, just give us a call. And we'll be glad to guest Jason.
And am I understanding that that's like a meet and greet where we're going to hang out and stuff? But it's maybe also a songwriting, impromptu workshop or something like that.
Yeah, like a workshop. Yeah, yeah, like where they can ask you questions and like your process. Oh, yeah. And yeah, you're very prolific. Jason has had so many hits on K-Love and Christian radio and so many. Somebody just told us, I thought it was pretty cool about, like, it's not just like a good feeling kind of a song. Like your lyrics are thoughtful and, you know, crafted and vulnerable. And, you know, so we are very excited about you coming. So it's Saturday, July 19th. It's called All Out Praise.
You can find more information on the web at alloutpraise.com. That's alloutpraise.com. So find out more about that. And we still have room for a couple bands. I'm not sure when this will actually air, but if there's a couple bands that want to do that, bands are selling tickets. Jason, I got to tell you, one of the things we do is we place bands. They get to pick their time in the lineup during the day based on how many tickets they sell. So we have some bands that are just really excited. I think one band sold 45 tickets already because they want to play right before Jason Gray. So
that's wonderful. Just as long as they're not better than me, all right?
No. No chance.
I believe it's in my contract that whoever opens for me can't be better than me.
Right. Uh-oh, we just lost all the... No, I'm just kidding. So,
There might be a few you want to just like... I can imagine you, a couple of them are sort of like bluegrassy. I could see Jason like jumping up on the stage with them, like joining in.
So Jason, tell us a little bit about, I mean, about yourself. I know that a lot of our folks know about you, but some may not. Some may know your songs, you know, sorry, I probably shouldn't say that, right? But sometimes it's like artists, everybody knows the songs, like, oh yeah, I know who that is. So yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey, you know, okay? So.
Yeah, well, I'll go back a little bit. I'll also let everybody know that I do suffer from a speech handicap. I'm a stutterer, so I just want people to be aware of that. I didn't grow up in the church, but I did grow up on the road with my mom's rock and roll bar band. And what that would look like is we would haul all the gear in this old converted school bus and arrive at the corner bar in Grand Forks, North Dakota, maybe, you know, and then haul all the gear in. And then my mom would stick me on a stool at the bar while she'd go on the stage and sing the Doobie Brothers and Heart and the Eagles so she could keep an eye on me from the stage, you know. So there I was, 5-year-old, just kicking it back at the bar, you know. And I remember I hated the smoke. But I had a bottomless glass of root beer and my Star Wars action figures, and the waitresses adored me, so it was a really good life, you know. And so I grew up around a lot of music, and I suppose it's no surprise that the first time that I heard God speak to me, it was through music. My parents were in the midst of a very ugly divorce, and it was the intensity and the trauma that activated my speech handicap. So my speech handicap is the enduring scar that I have from that time in my life. And we were living at my grandparents' house, my mom's parents, and my grandpa was a good man, but he was an alcoholic, so there was a lot of volatility and chaos. And into all that, God knew how to speak the thing that I needed to hear, that he wanted me to hear, in a language that I could understand. And so one day I was out doing errands with my grandpa, and it was January in Minnesota. So he left the car on when he went into the liquor store, and over the radio came a song by my favorite group, Simon and Garfunkel. That was the first music I cared about, Simon and Garfunkel. After that, it was Kenny Rogers and then Kiss, but I'm not going to go into that part of my story.
Kenny Rogers and Kiss. No. Anyway, go ahead.
but I loved Simon and Garfunkel, and and they were my burning bush, you know. Over the radio came a song called Bridge Over Troubled Water. And I'm just enjoying this song by this artist I love so much, you know, and I feel this loving presence.
Amen.
With me, as though it's saying, hey, the words of this song that you love so much, this is my heart toward you. When you're weary, when you're feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down for you. And I was 5 years old, maybe 6 years old, and nobody was talking to me about God. We weren't in church. Nobody was encouraging me to interpret things spiritually. Like, that wasn't on the menu, right? So so this was just an experience I had that was no big deal. It was just like any other experience. It wasn't like, whoa, I heard from God. Like, it was just, I had this experience, and I just accepted it and believed it. And it would be many years later before I would have the language to say, oh, wow, I think I heard the voice of God in that moment. Just in the moment, I just felt very loved and cared for.
Oh.
What a cool story. What a cool story, Jason.
Yeah. So I've always experienced music as one of the ways that God speaks. And interestingly, I mean, probably because if it first happened through his music, Paul Simon's music has been very important to me over the years. And I just got to see him 2 nights ago. He's one of the great, if you dig into his music, he's one of the great pop songwriters of pop music ever, right? You know, You Can Call Me Al, Kodachrome, Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard. and those songs are wonderful, but he also writes these other songs like Bridge Over Troubled Water and Slip Slide in the Way, even is this very religious, very human song. And he's so articulate and so graceful with the way that he handles truth. And so as he's gotten older, his last three albums have been explorations of the meaning of life and God, life after death. And he's the guy that you want wondering about these things because he's truthful and eloquent about it, you know. And one of the things I love about his music, you know, is there's this idea that if you set out to make a work of art, and if you already know what that work is going to say before you've created it, then it's probably less a work of art and more a piece of propaganda.
And that's a harsh,
you know, judgment of things. But I think there's a lot of truth in it, you know. And one of the things that I often, you know, wonder about Christian music is that, you know, we kind of know it's at the end of the day, it's a lot of it is probably more religious propaganda than it is like a very authentic exploration of the nature of truth, right? Also, because, you know, like the songs I wrote when I was 25, 30 years old. I'm 53 now. Carl Jung said, life really does begin after 40. Up until then, you're just doing research, right? And I've been working on a book. I actually think I got done with it last night.
Really?
So, yeah.
Yay!
I proofread the last chapter. But it's
you
a book.
It.
Yeah. I've been working on it for I think 3 years. But
good
it's
for
a,
you.
It's a book of devotional essays for all my songs I've ever released. And when I got the idea to do it, I thought, oh, this will be easy because I've written all these things up before, you know, I could just like boost them up. But looking at something I wrote about a song 15 years ago, 20 years ago, it's like, oh, shoot, I don't know that I believe that way now, you know? And thank goodness I don't, right? And that means also that I'm going to release this book, and 10 years from now, hopefully, I'm going to look back at it and say, oh, shoot, I'm not sure I believe that way now, you know?
I've grown and matured a little more, huh? Right?
Yeah. But I'm not sure where I was going with all that.
Well, that's exciting, though. Yeah, oh, yeah. With the book, well, that's great. Oh,
yeah, and so writing Christian songs for a Christian marketplace that generally speaking is at a certain place of of maturity or has only had the concepts that their local church leadership has, you know. So it's going to limit what can be expressed, right? Whereas, and here's where I was going, as I sat through the Paul Simon concert, I thought, here's a person who's just curious, and he's bringing that curiosity in a very pure way to the ground of all being, you know, and is asking the big questions, and he's not worried about if religious leaders don't like the way he's asking it, or the conclusion.
Yeah,
it was just so refreshing mm-hmm. to be there and to be under that, and to just see a person as gifted and as aligned with truth as Paul Simon is, to be curious about all these. The biggest ideas, right? It was great. Okay. Anyway, thank you.
It sounds to me like, Jason, that's something you hope to do too in your music, right? And that you're trying to help people be a part of that process of asking good questions and looking for true due north. There is due north, you know, there are real compasses that we can point to. And that is, you're right, that in the Christian community, that is lacking sometimes. Yeah. People want, you know, here's an easy answer, you know, here's this. And for the people who don't find that answer easy. So like when we talk about childhood trauma or divorce, or even Christians who love Jesus, who say, I'm struggling a little bit with same-sex desire. What do I do with that? Like, how do I?
Depression.
Yeah, depression, anxiety mm-hmm. the whole nine yards. It's hard because people feel isolated from the church and from the Word of God, which Jesus didn't do that. Jesus ran full face into that with answers and with love, with truth, not just saying, hey, you can figure out whatever you want to be. But so I think that's really exciting, Jason. That's got to be, though, an interesting challenge in, as you said, in today's Christian marketplace, for sure. Huh?
Well,
I know that Merle shared before about clients that have come to them and said, you know, they met with their pastors, and the pastors mm-hmm. are like, oh, just have faith, you know, you don't need, you know, just that. And I when you and Josh Wilson came out with, you know, your new song and talking about that, like just opening that up, and I just thought it was wonderful.
Really is. Do you mind talking about that a little bit? I don't want to derail the conversation here, but I'd love to hear like just about that experience and writing that song together.
Yeah.
And if you feel comfortable talking about it.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's a great example of what I was talking about, you know, like, I would say like, at least in the circles I grew up in, if you, like 20, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, if you were struggling with depression or anxiety, it meant that you weren't spiritual enough. You weren't trusting God. You weren't praying enough. You weren't reading your Bible enough. Yeah. And these very simple, naive band-aids that would kind of, that those ideas weren't helpful. And they shamed you at the same time, right? So very effective, you know. But you know, thankfully, I think we've grown and we've developed some nuances, a religious culture, and we have a better consciousness and conscientiousness around all of that, right? And we understand that these are real things, and you know, and what's more, I just saw a quote from author Philip Yancey. Do you remember him? Mm. He said, I'm more impressed by pain overcome than pain removed.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh. Yeah. Great.
And
consider it all so, joy, brethren, right?
Yeah.
I said consider all joy, brethren, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And okay, so I wrote this song with Josh Wilson about 10 years ago. It was supposed to be for my album at that time. I think it was going to be on Where the Light Gets In. And it was a song about an experience that I had with him where he was there for me when I was in a very, very low place. And I don't know about you, I imagine this is true for you, but the faithfulness of God, the kindness, the grace of God, the love of God, more often than not, comes to me, arrives in my life through other people, right? Mm-hmm. And Josh, at that time of my life, was a conduit of God's love, his grace, his faithfulness, you know? And so we were going to write a song, and I said, I want to write about this, you know? And yeah. Take it from me, I've been there too. And it's this idea that when you're broken down and when you hate yourself, you can remember that I love you, and you can borrow my love for you. Mm. You know,
yeah.
You can take it from me, you know, and going back to what we were speaking about a moment ago, I believe that's how God designed it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a more beautiful antidote than just praying harder or believing mm-hmm. harder or all those old band-aids that people would throw yeah. at us, right? I believe that this idea of
you just went, Jason. Mute. You just muted yourself.
Mute.
You muted yourself. So. How did that happen?
I don't know. It just went to. Can you hear us? Okay. Yeah, yours has like you. The line through it. Like the mic has a line. I don't know how it happened though. Yeah,
it
you're
must
muted.
Be on your end. Yes, you're muted.
Yeah, but I don't know how. That's so weird.
I don't think there's any way I can fix that.
No, we're muted too. It says.
Okay, there.
You're back.
There we are.
You're back. You're back, know. Jason.
I don't know why. I'm not sure why that happened, but
gotcha.
I was about to say, you know, there's
it's like
bird.
Really good.
Yeah. Let's hope. There's that verse that says, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am with them. And as a young believer, I guess I imagined that meant something like, oh, I've been given the formula. Like if I really want God to hear me, if I really want him to show up, it means I need to get another believer here with me. And, you know, and then he'll have to show up, right? Because he says, there I am with them, right? So
yeah.
I got a handle on God now. I've got him against the ropes, right? Like he's he's got to do this now. But so I used to see that as like a formula, and my belief about that verse now is that you know, you have the indwelling Christ. I have the indwelling Christ. He has taken up residence here, you know, and you do too. And so when we come together, when I'm broken down and weary, and you come to me, you bring the indwelling Christ with you. And so when we come together, there he is with us because we have brought him to each other and his spirit.
So powerful, Jason.
Yeah.
So powerful. And, you know, actually in mental health now, we're actually post-COVID, tracking things like connection to community, right? Mm. Because that's so true. You're absolutely right. God designed this to be, we're to be in this together, you know, we're to be together. And it's so hard to be together when we're not honest and transparent with each other.
Yeah. You can't.
The body can't do it. For the body, right? Yeah.
Oh, so I'm so excited. I'm hoping that our listeners are catching a feel for what being in one of your concerts is going to be like. And we're going to encourage you to feel free to just be you here on July 19th, because this is really what we're about as a center too, Jason. Trying to be authentic about recognizing that being a Christian doesn't mean we've got it all together. It means that we know the one that does.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a metaphor, but your statements about the maturing, the nature of who we are as we grow. I laugh now because I used to think I was so mature. And oh now I look God. Back, I look back on my 3-year-old self saying, yeah. There was just a way we could share that with our 30-year-old selves and some other 30-year-olds to help realize that there's a journey here that's really, really true. So very, very powerful, Jason. Very,
I agree. Yeah.
And your music reflects that. So we're really excited.
It's interesting, right? Because I think evangelical culture has put such a premium on the idea of believing rightly and being correct. And I think one of the gifts of working on this book and having to look back on, that's right. That's how I believed that back then. That was, you know, misguided, but also kind of like, oh, poor buddy, you know, you'll figure it out, you know. But the Lord met with me in those times, and he grew my ministry, and he blessed me, and he was with me, even though I was misguided, you know. And that experience has helped me to relax a little bit about having all the answers. I think we do the best that we can, but I think. At least I've learned a humility about my beliefs where I just kind of hold them very loosely now. This is how I understand it today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to understand it way differently 10 years from now. And the Lord loved me and used me through all of it and didn't withhold his spirit until I had it all exactly correct, you know. Mm-hmm. And so letting go of this idea of theological purity, doctrinal purity, and just being like, yeah, we're just doing all we can do is the best that we can do, right?
That's it. It takes the pressure off, right? And it's just a freeing,
And I think too, keep learning. That's the message there. Mm-hmm. Keep growing, keep learning, keep recognizing, and put yourself around people and places where God's word is being taught and we're learning, and there's people
getting deeper.
Can share and we can walk deeper in truth. It's really an interesting journey that we have as believers, and particularly in today's culture. I know we're going to run out of time. I want to get a couple things in real quickly. I know you have to go to the airport, but what would you say to what's your sense of what's happening in Christian music right now? I mean, now I'm old enough. You can see that the listeners can if they don't know me, but you know, I'm 67 years old. When we had our first Christian radio station in Pittsburgh, we were like, woohoo, I mean, we were part of the Love Song Tour, you know, way back Chuck Gerard, all those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, wow, can we just have some Christian music now? I mean, it's been this way for a while that Christian music is very popular. We have people that are even getting in, if I understand correctly, even jumping in the Christian music genre because they can get in, not necessarily because of ministry, but it's because they can sell records and things. But what's your sense of what's happening? You've been around this a long time. What's God doing in Christian music today from your perspective?
Oh, what's God doing? Hmm. You know, there's all kinds of things I could be grumpy about. And it would be valid, And yet God still works through it, right? Like, I think of that that part of scripture where some random people adopt Jesus's message and are preaching it. And yeah. And the disciples are very concerned about that, you know. Jesus is like, well, no, you don't have to worry about that. And as long as they're doing that, that's great, you know. But it's not through the official, you know. So I think that God uses whatever he's going to use. I mean, one of my favorite quotes is Rich Mullins. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Powerful.
He said, yeah. He said that, you know, you have to remember that God spoke to God spoke to Balaam through an ass.
And so, right.
And so if someday you find that he's speaking through you too, you needn't think too highly of yourself, right?
Yeah.
you know?
That's good.
But
love it.
One of the things that I that concerns me is that I think the quality of the music has gotten higher, probably, you know, but the longer that it exists as a genre, the more people kind of learn what works. And most of the
oops, you went mute again.
It's us.
No, he's mute. He's,
I don't know.
There
why.
You go. There you're go. Back, Jason. I'm not sure why it's doing that, but most of them.
yeah.
So they figure out what works.
Yeah. Yes, and I I don't know that that's the music that I want to hear. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like back in the days, oh, I'm gonna sound like a old person now. Well, back in my day or whatever, but you know, there was a time when we didn't know exactly what worked and how to mm-hmm. dial things in for the market and just kind of make things so precise that you know this is gonna, because you've done the market research and you understand it. You've seen behind the curtain. Before all of that, when you're just kind of, when it was just like genuine, an overflow of your heart, personal reflection. Yeah. Larry Norman, right? You know, like
yes, right. Yeah.
When he was making the first Christian rock records, and he has a song, "Why Don't You Look Into Jesus? He's Got the Answer," and one of the lines is gonorrhea on Valentine's Day.
Now,
you're just not gonna hear that language in a Christian right. music song. It's like, oh, that's you know, if we put that in a song, it's not gonna get played on the radio, you know. But there was something about the him not realizing that just kind of allowed, that created the space for him to write a more compelling, a truer song, right? Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
So I think we may get back to that. Mm-hmm. I think that's already happening. You're beginning to see younger artists who are like, no, I want something that doesn't feel so corporate in my music, you know, mm-hmm. and so.
Well, maybe Jason too. I don't know where you're at with the whole is revival happening or not, you know, there's all a bunch of conversations yeah. about all that, but maybe like back in the Jesus movement, maybe music will reflect what's going on in yeah. people's hearts and we'll see some new cool things happening, yeah. you know, as an expression of that. I mean, who knows, you know, but maybe you're a part of leading that way, Jason, you know, kind of thing.
I don't know. I don't know about that. But I find myself most interested. I'd say the biggest shifts in my life have happened in in quiet moments. Very often when I'm in some kind of deep pain, or my life has fallen apart in some way. I'm in the midst of a catastrophe, and the Lord meets with me there. And so I have a song called Order, Disorder, Reorder. And that's, I understand that to be the pattern of transformation, right? Like order. Oh yeah, I think I got this. I think I understand things. I got a handle on things. And then all of a sudden something happens that reveals to me, ooh, my answers were not as sufficient as I thought they were. Mm-hmm. And I was not as in control as I thought I was. Mm-hmm. And that happened in my divorce. You know, like I did not see that coming. That didn't fit within my framework of how I believed God was going to work in my life, you know. And it was a catastrophe that kind of knocked my whole understanding of how reality works. It knocked it all down, you know. And began to it pulled out the thread of my faith in a way that eventually unraveled over the next 6 years after that happened. I did lose my faith in that, you know. But that's where my personal revival has always happened. I kind of needed to lose my faith because there were just a lot of beliefs I had that were so backwards that it kind of needed to be knocked all the way down, you know, so I could come into reorder, you know. And I think we've all gone through this. You go through something really painful and you come out the other side stronger, wiser, hopefully kinder, more humble, right? And so that's the revival that I'm the most interested in, and probably happens person by person in the quiet moments. If someone is going through an experience like that and they happen to be playing one of my songs in the car when they're driving at midnight, and the Lord meets them through one of my songs in a moment like that, that's
amen.
Well, that's more than I could ask for, right? I mean,
wow, that's
what a privilege.
Yep.
That is.
And you definitely have a fan base that enjoys those lyrics and your vulnerability, Jason. You're just wonderful. We're really, really excited you're coming.
We are, and unfortunately, we're out of time. I don't want you to miss your ride to the airport. But Jason, tell us real quickly, if people want to find out more about you on the web, how do they do that?
Follow me on Instagram. I'd be grateful for that, or Facebook and or Spotify. And
is it Jason Gray Music? I think Jason Gray Music. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I'm releasing new songs right now that I'm excited about. It's a project I did with my son. We did acoustic reinventions of my greatest hits.
Ooh, and that's Kipper, right?
Yeah. And he did such a creative version of that. I'm very excited. So yeah.
That's great.
That is so exciting.
And your book, you mentioned. And my book. Encourage people to
for
your book.
Find out more. And maybe we can twist Jason's arm, or maybe we twist Jason's agent if we can get him on for another podcast before July 19th. So we'll see. I'm not asking officially, and you don't have to promise officially. But a lot of great content.
I would love that. I would love that. So okay.
I'll reach out and see if we can do kind of a part two to this. But just a reminder. Okay, July 19th, we're hoping you'll be here in Donegal, Pennsylvania, at the Christian Family and Children's Center for All Out Praise. See some great local artists, some great local ministries will be a part of the thing. Good food. And lots Jason will be here. We'll have some kids' activities, we're hoping, and a whole bunch of fun stuff to do. You can get tickets by emailing us at info@champion.org. We're not quite on iTickets yet, but you can buy them off of local bands who are competing to see how many tickets they can sell and how close they can get to Jason's spot.
AllOutPraise.com, right? Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that. Just a reminder, we're going to close in just a minute if it's okay, Jason, in prayer. But just a reminder that if you're interested, find out more about the center at www.champion.org, Christian Family and Children's Center. We do Christian education, counseling. We have a lot of events like this and do coffee houses. A lot of cool things that are going on. So we're hoping to have you find out more. You can find out more about the podcasts at champion.org/podcasts and hear all kinds of interesting things that we're talking about around contemporary kingdom issues. So let's go ahead and pray, and I'll close this in prayer. So God, we just thank you for Jason and for this opportunity to get to know him a little bit better. And Lord, I just thank you for his willingness to share his journey with you. And what a cool journey that is. I know it's been hard, and it's been good. And Father, but it's been real. And Father, we pray for all of us that, Father, that our experience with you would be honest and transparent and real. And that, Lord, we wouldn't fall into putting you in a box and putting you in places where there's not room for you to do something new in our life every day. Lord, bless Jason as he spends lots of time traveling and in ministry. And Lord, with these new ventures, we're just looking forward to seeing more about what you do in his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, guys. Sorry, I got to run off.
Thanks so much. No, I know.
It's good. Looking forward to seeing you. I'll reach out and we'll see if it'll work out in the schedule wise. Would love to do that.
Thank you.
See you later. Take care. See you. Bye.